You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay-by-TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com joining us at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. JC in Gulletsville on the text line, Joe, asks, what if we end up with a top five pick next year? Do you go Mays or go another top quarterback since Levis is disappointed by Mays? I think he means Drake May.
Yeah, here's another example. I'm gonna get frustrated today because I had a great response to JC. So he said, yeah, top five pick, do you go Mays or another QB since Levis is disappointed? And my answer was, he has? Will Levis is disappointed?
And done anything.
Really?
How do you know? I mean, I guess, is that disappointing that he's not, I guess, QB2?
Some people have suggested that. I think when you miss two of the three preseason games and were hurt, and again, when you drafted the other guy a year earlier in the third round, it's a weird situation. It's a rep-splitting situation. I don't think it's at all accurate to say he has disappointed. He may.
He gets a chance,
but at this point he is not. I've said this before, say it again. It blows my mind to think about this team going into the next draft and going quarterback with their top pick, wherever that pick is. That's mind blowing. Okay. I mean, look, I understand, you know, if you somehow end up with a chance to get like Caleb Williams, well, shoot. Although, I don't know if anybody watched him against Notre Dame. Wasn't great.
Well, not very
He's
good.
Still going to go number one overall. Fine, but, yeah, I can't wrap my head around that. I suppose if this works out that Levis starts against Atlanta and he plays a whole bunch this year and Tannehill's not ready to go and they're terrible and Levis is terrible and it's like, oh, there's no hope, then I guess you could think you could – look toward that. But right now, like if you ask like Rand Carthon or somebody in that organization about QBs next year, I mean, the answer is always, well, we're ready at every position. But like, I would think there'd also be like a little bit of like, like a sideways look at you, right?
Oh, I mean, you could, right now, you could get Joe Milton in like the sixth or seventh round, probably.
Well, that is.
Maybe undrafted.
That's fair. You just got to use this to take a shot at Joe Milton, huh?
I'm just saying.
You think he'll go undrafted? I don't think he'll go undrafted.
I mean, I think right now he would go undrafted, yes.
Nah.
He's been terrible.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. He's like a fourth. He's probably about a fourth.
He is not going in the fourth round.
We may have to have a little wager here.
We might have to.
I say he goes fifth or higher.
No.
Okay. Put some money down. Come on, we'll make a bet on the air right now. Let's go. How much?
$30.
Okay. There you go. All right. That's random. $30. There he is. You all heard. Are we allowed to make wagers on the air like that?
I don't know.
We'll find out. The SEC.
Banana pudding.
Should we swear a little bit too?
And
drop some F bombs while we're doing it, man. Just get it all in one segment. $30. Fifth round or better, Joe Milton. I feel good about it.
I'm glad you do. And see if he could throw for 101 yards this week. We'll get to it. But look, I don't see a scenario where the Titans are drafting a quarterback next year. Number one, as bad as they are right now, they're still, to me, they're not going to be top five bad. Like, the Bears are terrible. The Panthers are 0-6 right now, and I know that the Bears get their first-round pick, too. But, like, I don't think that they're going to be top five bad. Now, to me, I said it yesterday, they look like a 6-11 football team right now, which that'll get you probably somewhere in the top 10, or at least close to it. But you're probably not getting one of those quarterbacks with those spots. And just think about right now, all the different needs that this Titans team has, right? I mean, obviously, the tackle position they've got to address. They've got to get a tackle. they still, in my opinion, need another wide receiver. Like, I know, like, DeAndre Hopkins is on the team right now, and he's under contract for next year, too. But Treylon Burks, I have no idea what Treylon Burks is. They need another wide receiver.
Oh, at least one.
At least one. So, I mean, you can go up down the list of things that the team needs, and quarterback is not even a part of that discussion to me right now. So, I don't know that I see quarterback being the way they go next year. Even if Levis comes in and is really bad, like, I think they'll want to give him another look.
Right.
With a revamped, hopefully at that point, offensive line to see how it goes.
Like, even if he's really bad, there are plenty of rookie QBs who are bad or they don't have – like Bryce Young this year. There's going to be – it's just like Tua. You know, there's going to be some great takes this year about Bryce Young because they suck.
Right.
And so he's not going to have success. And so – but, you know, I don't feel any different about what I think he'll be in this league. Even if you stink as a quarterback, like, what did Peyton throw? 31 picks? He's one of those great examples. Like, you think the Titans are going to admit – a year later, God, we screwed that up. We moved up to 33 to draft this guy, and we just screwed it up. Sorry. Look, if everything behind the scenes is terrible and he's, like, spraying May all over the walls, I don't know, whatever. If it's like Isaiah Wilson, obviously it was like there was a situation you could not deal with anymore. You had to get rid of that situation. Okay, if it's something like that, fine. Short of that. And Will Levis is going to be the starting quarterback next year.
Yeah. And look, that may end up being really bad. I have no idea.
It may be great. Yeah. It may be terrible. Yeah. I'm open to all of it.
I am too. And then if it is bad, well, then you got to figure out quarterback after that.
And the Vols fans will feel that slap in the face yet again.
They will. They will.
Yeah. You'll be pissed about that, and you'll be light $30. It'll be tough. Maybe so. It'll be tough for you.
Maybe so. Big E on the text line says, you don't trade Derrick Henry. He's worth way more to you than anything you can possibly get back. I'd like to see Henry and Spears on this team next year playing behind a better offensive line. Yeah, I don't know. I don't
hate that thought at all.
I don't hate that thought either.
I'm kind of with you.
I don't know. Like, so far, what has happened this year with Derrick Henry? Has it changed the way that you view his situation at all? Like, I think he's probably going to finish out the year with the Titans. And then he'll be 30 years old after that. And I think the market for him is going to be pretty soft heading into free agency. And this could end up being the best fit for him. Now, and then the question is, like, Derrick Henry, we keep saying the best fit for him. But, like, does he reach a point where he wants to go win? And he wants to win a Super Bowl? Because right now this team is really far away from competing for a Super Bowl. Like, does Derrick Henry look at it and say, you know what, maybe I'll take a little bit less money, maybe a little bit of a lesser role, and go somewhere where I have a chance to win? That's the part of this that we just don't know right now.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. He may be like, it may be a ring chase situation. It's like, you're going to get like $4 or $5 million, a bunch of different places, so go get a ring. And that could be. But I'm with Big E just from the Titans' perspective. You're not getting much back. So Big Joe said first rounder yesterday. I want to trade baseball cards with Big Joe, if that's the case.
Like I said, I think you'd be lucky to get a fourth round.
We give Big Joe some bubblegum for a Mattingly rookie. You're not going to get a lot. So if that's the case, then I agree. Then you don't deal him, and I think it would be good. The Henry Spears thing is one of the best things going on with this football team right now. You know, Henry's still their best football player. Spears looks great. I like that, so I'm with you. I think that you can get much better assets for other players if you're willing to go there.
Yep.
If you're willing to do that, and that's what's fascinating right now, is the conversations that we don't get to hear that are going on in that building this week.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans throughout the show. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com will join us at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to getting his perspective on what the Titans should do moving forward from here. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Tennessee and Alabama coming up the third Saturday in October. Vols going on the road to take on the Crimson Tide. We'll give our first look at that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, the third Saturday in October, coming up this Saturday, Tennessee going to Tuscaloosa, taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, favored by 8.5 in this matchup. So Alabama loses in week two to Texas, and they have won ever since then. And it feels like, especially defensively, they figured some things out. Jalen Milroe is clearly the starter now for Alabama. So they've worked through the quarterback issues that they were having, and now it's clearly Milroe's team. Tennessee loses to Florida and has been at home ever since then. So this is the first road game that Tennessee will have played since the Florida game down in the swamp. The defense has been very good, highlighted by their performance against Texas A&M. They were great in that game. The pass rush was all over the place. I saw a stat. I guess Max Johnson had 39 dropbacks in this game, and Tennessee pressured the quarterback on 25 of 39 dropbacks, which is pretty darn good. So the balls are feeling good.
And on like 17 of those, he got hit really hard.
Yeah, he did. He just got drilled in that game. So you're feeling good about things defensively if you're Tennessee. We discussed the passing performance yesterday. Joe Milton, 11 of 22 with 100 yards, with a touchdown and a pick against A&M. Obviously, that has to get better. Question is, can it get better? Like, what against this Alabama team, let's start on the offensive side of the ball for Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee is feeling good about the running game. They just put up 232 yards on the ground against what, to that point, had been the best rush defense in the SEC. So you have to feel like you can run the ball against pretty much anybody if you're Tennessee right now, and Alabama's going to put a heavy emphasis on trying to slow that down. Like, Joe Milton is going to have to make some plays on the road in this game if Tennessee's going to have a chance to knock off Alabama. Like, there's no two ways about it. Milton has to play significantly better than we've seen him play in a game to this point.
Yes, I agree. I think he's had some, you know, he's had better games than the last game. I
mean, for sure.
You know, I mean, he was averaging like 230 a game or whatever going into last game. And, you know, obviously it took until the very end of the game to get to 100. But all of a sudden he's gotten into the thing where he'll make that mistake too over the middle of the field. So you got to eliminate that. But if you're trying to eliminate that, then, I mean, is it just going to be screen, 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 a slant here and there, and then, you know, hit it deep? Maybe. I would throw deep a lot in this game. The last game, I thought that his deep passes, and you know, he had the one that right in Keaton's hands. That was that was a gimme. That was kind of a, I mean, he was just wide open, laid it in there perfectly. But I did think that his deep passes in the last game looked kind of more like earlier Joe Milton, where they were too flat. I think he's worked a lot on that. He's got to get back to putting touch on that and give his receivers a chance. But look, the receiving core is not as big a problem as him, but it has to get mentioned. It's not just – like if Joe Milton were throwing to Hyatt, Tillman, McCoy with some Squirrel White, I mean, think about the Orange Bowl even when he had McCoy and Squirrel White. I think he'd look better. I think this thing would look better than if he had that offensive line, the same thing. So the whole thing is not good. But the run blocking, and, you know, again, against light boxes, because this offense just dictates that, and then those running backs have been dynamite. Trey Wall said this. So Tennessee's sixth in the country in rushing offense, 88th in passing offense. 88th. Again, number one last year. 88th now. Bama is 71st in rushing, 82nd in passing. They are very inconsistent offense that lives on big plays.
Yeah, that's – can Tennessee's defense travel on the road and look as good as they've looked? I mean, James Pierce Jr. has been outstanding. You know, Tyler Barron, I think, has been really good too. That front for Tennessee, can they dominate the game like they have so far this year outside of the Florida game? Because the Florida game, they did not. And we saw what happened to Tennessee.
The one game in a hostile environment so far.
Exactly. And we saw what that looked like for Tennessee when they didn't have that. So going on the road against Alabama and an offensive line for Alabama that we thought was going to be elite coming into the year that's been pretty up and down. I mean, they've allowed 31 sacks so far this year, which some of that's on them. Some of that's on Milroe kind of running around into some of those sacks. But That's to me where a lot of this game comes down to. If Tennessee can get after Jalen Milroe and that front can be really good against the run, which they have been for the most part this year, and find a way to pressure the quarterback, then I think Tennessee's going to have a chance in this game. If they can't, then I think Alabama's going to win by 3 touchdowns. Like, it's that's to me what this game comes down to.
Keenan Peely coming back this year?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's supposed to.
He's supposed to at some point.
Is this the week that's kind of been circled on the calendar?
Could be.
I mean, those young guys have been, you know, fine.
They've been good.
Good. They've been fine. And this is valuable reps for them for sure. But you know, if you actually had him full go the way he was playing at the very beginning of the season, that's another little boost whenever that happens.
So I hear you on Tennessee going deep. My question is, who are you going deep to? Is it Squirrel White? Is it Keaton? Like, who's the deep play guy for Tennessee right now in this offense?
Well, I mean, Dante Thornton is the fastest guy on the team, and he's struggling to catch the ball, and there seems to be miscommunication with him, and he's been hurt, and it's been a big disappointment. Because if you watch some of the plays he made for Oregon last year, the guy is electric. To me, he is the answer. But also, look, I think Nimrod had a good chance last game. Go to Keaton. Keaton's made some huge plays. Just make sure it's a really hard pass to catch. Like, throw it kind of like
make
behind
sure
his head.
Not open. Yeah.
Throw it. Yeah. So he has to like twist his body and do a one-handed catch. Then he'll catch it. They got guys. Those guys. I mean, all those guys. There's no Hyatt. Because Hyatt had the speed and he had everything down and he was just really good at running what they run. But to me, Thornton is the answer. Like, and Squirrel White, Squirrel White can do anything. I mean, the fact that, Jimbo's like, squirrel's like a real squirrel. And then they really did it. They emphasized
they did.
Squirrel. But he's got to get more involved for sure. It's just, there were a couple little crossing patterns in the last game. And Milton, I mean, if Milton needs to, like, put one in, like across the field, when he's throwing to the field side, I mean, he can put the ball there and get it there, where a lot of quarterbacks, it's like, don't even try it because the DB will be able to react to it. Like, he can do some things. He can throw those slants just fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to try to get him into a rhythm throwing, and it just has happened so little this year, which is mostly on him for sure. But all of them can do better than this.
Heupel was talking yesterday, and he made it seem like he doesn't feel like the passing offense is that far off. I guess I'm trying to determine, like, how much of that is coach speak and how much of that is that he actually believes it. Like, he went into talking about, just some of the timing on some of the routes. And he talked about Milton's mechanics on Saturday not being very good, and they got to get that corrected as they move back into this week against Alabama. But he seems to feel like the passing game is, like, not that far off. And my response to that is, we're 6 weeks
far
into the season.
Far off from what?
Yeah, like, you're 6 weeks into the season. And it's – look, I mean, it's not like Milton's been as bad every week as he was Saturday against A&M. But, I mean, look, Florida game, he wasn't very good. The South Carolina game, I thought he was better. He did throw 2 picks in that game, too. Like, it's just not been very clean from the Tennessee passing offense at all this year. So you're 6 games in, and your head coach is still saying you're not that far off. Like, how far do you feel like this thing is? How close do you feel like they are to getting it going? Because I just don't have a whole lot of confidence that Tennessee's passing game is just all of a sudden going to figure things out right now.
Well, I have zero confidence that it will at any point look anything like it did last year.
No.
So take that off.
You got to get that out of your head if you're a Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not happening.
Now, I think it's reasonable to think that it might look like somewhat of a passing game that has a clue, I mean, you would hope that that they could certainly do better than last game and that they could find some – find some connections, find some more chemistry. I mean, some of these guys, again, McCoy, that hurts. He hurts the screen game. And Milton and McCoy had pretty good, when you choose coming back. I mean, there was a completion the other day, and Milton thought the receiver was going to, they do those choice routes. You read the DB, and you either take it deep or you cut it back hard.
Yep.
And he thought he was throwing deep, and then he kind of like started to throw, and the receiver came back, and he actually got the ball to him. Do you remember the play? Yep. I'm talking about, was that Squirrel?
I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, that's another example of, like, with Hooker, there was no, like, and those receivers, the whole thing that they had going on, like, you knew exactly what you're going to do, you know? And so you're a step ahead of the defense. I think it's, yeah, yes, there's a lot of coach speak. You know, Joe operating at a high level, et cetera, a lot of coach speak going on with this offense. But, yeah, I think that they could be decent. I think Joe Milton could throw the ball well enough for them to win this game and throw for, like, 200 yards.
Hey, D. Williams was warming up with the receivers on Saturday.
Well,
maybe he gets a shot.
Well, he said after the game, he thinks that he sort of hinted that he thinks he's going to get in. You know what? If Thornton can't figure it out, I know D. Williams can run.
He can run. Find a way to get him the ball.
I mean,
he's the reason they won the game on Saturday.
I mean, so. In terms of, like, if you can design some screens for that guy and give him a little bit of space, yeah.
Maybe you'll see that on Saturday. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee and Alabama. What sort of a chance do you give the Vols to head down to Tuscaloosa and win for the second consecutive year against Alabama? More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in about 12 minutes or so at 7:45. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on Tennessee, Alabama coming up on Saturday. Vols going down to Alabama. Vols at 5-1 so far this year. Obviously, Joe, you ended the long losing streak last year to Alabama in a wild game that people who watched it will never forget. This year, it does kind of feel like I was interested to see. So the final score last year is 52-49 in that game. It's just a wild back-and-forth game. You got Hendon Hooker, Bryce Young. I was looking to see what the over-under would be this week for Tennessee-Alabama. It's 47.5.
Wow. Not even what either team got to last year.
47.5 total is the over-under.
That is wild.
A defensive struggle expected down there in Tuscaloosa coming up this week. Which, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I couldn't believe when I saw last week that the A&M Tennessee game, the over-under was like 55. I mean, I looked at you and I said, well, there's no way that's happening. And the final score ends up being 20-13. So,
yep.
I mean, defensive struggle is probably what we're going to see on Saturday.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I feel like, well, the NFL scoring's down, and defenses are, you know, there's some very, very good defenses in the NFL.
Yep.
And the SEC, you know, it's not a great QB year. I think that's probably the main thing. But last year we're talking about the SEC, the Big 12. The SEC is what the Big 12 was a few years ago. Tennessee, Alabama, case in point. And Tennessee in a lot of games, but not just Tennessee. And got some, you know, feels like we're going back in time.
Yeah.
You know, turning back the clock a little bit this year. It's wild to think of, like, these two teams and how completely different they are as football teams this year. Which, again, mostly quarterback, but not just quarterback.
How good do you think Alabama is? We saw them in the Texas game. They lose to Texas at home. You know, Milroe wasn't very good in that game. They went through kind of their quarterback shuffle and ultimately decided that Milroe was by far the best option that they have. So he's the starter, and he's going to play. We know that heading into this game. How good do you think this Bama team is? Can they get back into the college football playoff discussion, in your mind?
I don't know still. I really don't. I mean, I'm really interested to see, like, every week. Like, I'm watching them last week. I'm like, okay, look at that. Ooh, look at that throw by Milroe. I mean, you know, Jermaine Burton has become – he was a liability – and he is now a playmaker. Dallas Turner, I mean, you know, their D's loaded. They've got first-rounders. They got five stars everywhere. But their O-line has not been good at pass protection. They have some warts for sure. And their quarterback is just – there are times I watch him, and I'm like, my goodness. I mean, just he has a lot of talent. But then you look at, like, the Arkansas game that looked to me like they're about to blow them off the field, and all of a sudden they're holding on for dear life against a pretty bad Arkansas team at home. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think so. I feel like there's another stumble ahead for them somewhere along the way, and it could be this week. I mean, Tennessee has the pass rush to really expose them. What you have to do is you have to turn Milroe over. I mean, you got to, you know, to channel Mike Vrabel. You know, you got to knock the ball out of his hands, things like that. So now at the same time, Tennessee goes in that place, and the home balls defense becomes a road balls defense that we saw in Gainesville, and Alabama runs for 180 yards. I mean, I could see it. Milroe rips off a couple long ones. Milroe hits some deep shots on that secondary, which has played well, but I still don't think is like, you know, lockdown group in the back end. I mean, I could certainly see that happening. Now, a lot of this game to me is like, can the Vols play well on the road? We've seen one game, and it was not good. But it's also the worst place for them historically, so I don't know.
It is. I'm not sure that Bryant Denny has worked out overly well for them either, but we'll see.
That's a fair point. Not
go,
recently.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Robert. Robert, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. Yep.
All right. Hey, you know, people don't realize Tennessee this year, you know, we don't have the receiving core we had last year. We lost Tillman and all them. Also, we got a new offensive coordinator. And I don't know where in the heck we're going to find a receiver. I don't know if we can dress Smokey and make him a receiver or what. But somebody's got to step up in the receiving core. Milton's got to be on his A game. He can't have a C game. He's got to have an A game this weekend. And then our defensive secondary has really surprised me this year. So, you know, I'm not really worried about the offensive line and the defensive line. Our secondary is a little susceptible, but you know, people don't understand, you know, we lost all those guys last year, and then we got that new offensive coordinator. And that's all I wanted to say and see what y'all think about it, and go Balls, man. Appreciate y'all taking my call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate it. What do you think of the OC part of this? I mean, obviously, Heupel's calling plays. So Heupel's the one calling the plays right now. What do you make of the impact of the loss of Golish to this point?
Has Heupel said that?
No, but I mean,
because Golish was calling the plays.
I think Heupel's calling plays.
I would think you're probably right. But still, yeah, it's still a hugely important job, right? I mean, I think Golish was very important to Tennessee's success. I think he was. It's why he got a head coaching job, and you know, so Halsley, I think that is worth looking at as, you know, something that could be significant. But yeah, you know, the receivers, it's a big problem. It's a big drop off. We didn't think it would be. I didn't think it would be.
No,
but it has been, especially now lose McCoy. So. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, Darnell Wright, you know, first round right tackle over there. I mean, right now, hate to pick on anybody, but, you know, Ollie Lane out there.
It's not good.
A little bit of a struggle. A little bit of a struggle wherever he is on that line. They got some young guys that I know some Vols fans want to see some of these guys. Obviously, they're not ready yet. I think it's going to get better moving forward. Receiver, all of it. I mean, the recruiting's going really well, but it's a little bit of an in-between year, certainly at quarterback.
Have you seen enough from Tennessee's running game to where you think they're going to be able to have pretty good success running the football against anybody as they move forward? And I include Alabama and Georgia in that.
See, that's the thing, too. What did they run for in the Florida game? I mean, I think they had a fine night. I mean,
they were down so early, but they probably had to abandon it.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look.
But that game, there's where I was surprised, you know, that they didn't run it as well. But they did nothing well in that game. You know, so you just watch again. Texas A&M top rush defense, the SEC stars all over the place, and it didn't matter. I mean, Tennessee, Jalen Wright. It's just the box is so light that when you stretch the field like that horizontally, the box is So Tennessee ran 30 times for 100 yards against Florida.
It's not very good.
3.3 per carry. Wright was 16 for 63. You know, and which is decent, basically 4 yards a carry. Other than that, they've gone nuts on everybody. But why did they not go nuts on them? Because, you know, you're right. I mean, it was 26-7 at the half. So it got away from a little bit. But still, like, they're still trying to run their offense, and it just wasn't working. Florida was kicking their butt up front. I thought Texas A&M would do a lot of the same thing. They didn't.
Nope.
What does that mean? Does that mean the offensive line in that way has improved a lot?
Does Cooper Mays make that big of a difference?
Cooper Mays make that big of a difference? Yeah. I think Jalen Wright's a pro, and I think Jalen Wright is just really, really hard to tackle. So I think they're going to have success. At least I don't know if they're going to have 200 yards of success, but I think they're going to have 150-plus. And if they don't, I really don't like their chances in this game.
I agree. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Are y'all concerned that Joe Milton's going to try to overperform because of the lack of success him and the receivers have? So he's going to feel like he's going to have to make a couple more plays himself and potentially turn the ball over that way?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Nate. I don't know. That's a good question. My first response to that is like, how much are the coaches going to put him in position where he can do that? Like, they've been very conservative with what they've asked him to do. I don't foresee that changing this week after what we saw last week against Texas A&M. The one thing, and I said this yesterday, that if I'm Milton, I'd probably be a little bit more aggressive than he has been so far this year, is pulling it down and going and just running the ball. I mean, he showed in the last game, and he did it in the UTSA game too, but it's UTSA, so it's a little bit different. But he showed in the last game, when he pulls it down and he wants to run with it, he can be a pretty good weapon. He's not hitting Hooker, but he can be a pretty good weapon when he wants to run the ball. That's where, if I'm Milton, I'm probably leaning a little bit more into that than he has to this point this year. But I don't know that I see him going out and trying to play hero ball in this game.
Yeah, but to Nate's point, I think where it's key is, like in the red zone, for example.
Yep.
They were atrocious in the red zone against Texas A&M. That game could have had been a lot more comfortable. Some of it was, as Heupel said, penalties and that. But like that, he has this fantastic run, just trucks a dude, talking trash. The whole Vols sideline's going nuts. They're about to punch it in and really take over, and he throws that pick, you know. And he's had a couple of those just really bad picks middle of the field. So, now, I think trying to do too much, if he's trying to throw deep, if it's an arm punt and it's a pick 60 yards downfield, yeah. If you throw three of those, but you also throw, like, two TDs, you might come out ahead on that. So throw deep.
So just keep going deep?
Yes.
Every time?
Definitely.
I'm with you.
Throw deep, man.
Rob from Clarksville says, Tennessee needs to blast Creed in the locker room right before the Alabama game. It's working wonders for the Rangers. Have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Keep it going.
Appreciate it, Rob.
Some more Scott Stapp. That's the answer. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
I may be the only one, but I do worry about it. You know, whatever happens, we just hit another player.
In the seventh inning stretch. <And it's boring. laughs> It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rex Road here on Robbie and Rex Road. Check it out every morning at 7:45.
The problem is that you've now put me in a good mood with the Wu-Tang underlay, the RZA. That's the RZA from Staten Island, New York.
He did also include you impersonating Creed singing our national anthem in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm pivoting to Creed, okay? So you forced me to pivot to Creed because this is what I need to do.
Okay.
I know it's funny and we all laugh. Ha, ha, ha. I hate Creed, so now the Rangers are playing Creed, and that's fine. Give me all the crap you want to give me. But I defy anyone out there to honestly tell me that you like Creed.
I mean, they sell a lot of albums, man.
Do you like Creed?
Like is a strong word.
Okay, that's all I need to hear.
I don't think that they're as terrible as people act like they are, but like is a strong word.
Well, a ringing endorsement. And Nick Keiser, do you like Creed?
I don't listen to him on the daily. So no.
Okay, so if a Creed song
comes
out.
He's a youngin', though.
Yeah, but I mean, I love.
Higher is the only Creed song I could even sing to anybody, probably.
Oh, that's not true. I bet you know way more than you think you do.
I don't know about that.
I was home alone a few days ago, and I just played Led Zeppelin and all that. That was like songs that came out before I was born.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like, I've said this before, I feel like people think it's really cool to, like, hate on Nickelback.
Right.
And hate on Creed. Like, it's very similar, the way that Nickelback probably a little bit more.
Yeah.
But
I hear a lot of people like who act like they like Creed, and then I'm like, so you actually voluntarily listen to Creed?
I mean, they have to this day the greatest halftime show I've ever seen back in Thanksgiving of 2001 or 2, yeah, whenever that was.
An inspiring Cowboys performance.
Game. It was. It reemerges every year on Thanksgiving Day. We get to watch it all over again.
Yeah. Okay, Zach says, I like Creed stuff from back in the day, and I'm not ashamed. What if is a banger? Deal with it, old man. Okay.
Yeah, like I don't dislike them. I just, liking is a stretch, like I said.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're absolute trash, okay? And so again, now there, it's time of life, and yes, so I'll raise my hand, Zach. I'm old, and that's fine. But, you know, formative years for me was this wave of music that was really, really good. It was actually very different, too. Like, the Seattle bands were, like, really different. Nirvana was really a punk, you know, band. And Pearl Jam was really more like a classic rock band. Yeah. You know, really. You know, I mean, and Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, all that stuff. Smashing Pumpkins, amazing wave of music. And what happens with any type of music that gets really popular is that then there's going to be crappy bands that come later that try to sound like those bands, but they suck. And that's what Creed is.
I just got a text from Jared Stillman. I was literally about to text you that Nickelback and Creed get hated on all the time. And I've never hated them, but their hate makes me want to defend them. This is from Jared.
He used literally.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jared. You just reminded me of another rant that I stored away. Yesterday, Jared said that A.J. Brown literally spanked the Titans in the butt. Really? Did he literally spank them in the butt in Philadelphia last year? Literally spanked their butts?
He did take the towel and do that thing, you know, on the goalpost.
Yeah. That's not literally spanking the Titans' butts.
I know.
Thank you.
I know.
Thank All right. You. But anyway, if you really like Creed, that's fine. I mean, this is where, like, Fitz has gotten after me about this before. It's like, this is art. This is music. We, you know.
Sure.
I mean, I have bands. I love a lot of yacht rock that's very ripe to be made fun of, which is fine. But Creed sucks. I mean, come on. Can we be honest?
I mean, we got a lot of support for Creed right now on the text line, I will say. Yeah. Now, Chuck on the text line, which you will appreciate, says Creed is for people who have no idea what rock music really is.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck on the text line. But, I mean, a lot of defense of Creed.
Actually, there's a lot of – so you've tied Creed and Nickelback together, and that's an interesting –
there's a lot of Nickelback.
But I feel like on its own, Nickelback is – you're right. It's just sort of like this band that people love to, like, bring up.
They do.
As just like a bad band.
And then you
band,
look at their you know? Sales, and you're like, okay, so they sell out, like, all these arenas they go to. And they're, like, one of the most profitable rock bands of all time. So how do people hate, like, for all the people that hate them, how do they make so much money?
Yeah, but, like, Menudo was
huge,
saying. Too. I mean, Menudo was saying. Big, and so it was, like, insane.
It's it's proof to me that sometimes people say things, and then all of a sudden you look up in the third row, and, oh, you're at the Nickelback concert. Good to see you over there.
Yeah.
What's going on?
More Rush, says Chris and Galvin. I'm with you. I love the Rush. Eric says, "You remember Silverchair? They were knockoff of Nirvana. They were terrible. That's a good example. Bands like that. Exactly.
I don't remember Silverchair.
They actually have a song that I didn't hate. But yeah, that's exactly it. It's bands like that. There's always a wave of let's get something just like this, guys. You know, the Suits ruin it for everybody. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Chase. So, you know, that's just what happens. And Creed is absolutely." Exhibit A of that.
So how do you explain all the winning that's going on right now? The Rangers are playing it, and they just keep winning left and right. Minnesota, according to your boy, Kirk Cousins, they started playing it in the locker room the other day, and they just marched right out there and beat the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure how much credit Creed gets for that one. But
yeah,
a lot of W's flying around.
I know. But that's the thing. It's like, so if you like that music, then why don't you just play the real stuff like Pearl Jam? Like, Pearl Jam has a bunch of awesome songs. You can play Pearl Jam. More people should know Pearl Jam. They're an amazing band. And then it would be, like, the real stuff, and it's much better. It's the same vibe,
I mean,
though.
It's about the same idea, though, man. I mean, we saw Scott Stapp perform on the band stage at Bridgestone a couple years ago. It was epic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
I saw Eddie Vedder fill Bridgestone for an actual concert and blow them off the stage.
I keep going back to the halftime show. I mean, we're about a month away from Thanksgiving. Just watch your Twitter timeline when that comes around. You will see, I guarantee you, the replica, the re-showing of the Creed halftime show of the Cowboys game from Thanksgiving of like 2001.
It is pretty funny.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, they got after it. I'll give them credit for that. They did get after it. Kayla's mad that I made fun of NSYNC. I'm sorry.
I mean, NSYNC's pretty
I'm
good.
I'm more of an NCOT B guy, okay?
NSYNC's good. Mark from Ashland City says, Creed is meh, but the Creed literal video on YouTube is internet gold. Someone dubbed over the higher music video and saying what is actually happening. Funny stuff. I don't know what that means, but okay. Apparently there's... See, this is what we're talking. Creed brings everybody together. There's all these spinoffs. And like I said, a lot of winning going on in the world of sports right now. You can't deny the results.
Yeah, I guess I would have the same question of like, I know that there was some story about why Laura Branigan became like the same, you know, like, but at least that's like a random one hit wonder, whereas Creed actually had some, you know, some
very popular
people
band
who liked them. Yeah.
I got a text that says, a little birdie says a Creed reunion tour coming in 2024. I hope that's true.
I do too.
Will you go?
I hope they do it on a different continent.
Will you go?
No, will I go?
I mean, I feel like for the show, we probably need to go.
Okay. Well, if
Joe Milton gets drafted in the fifth round or higher, well, that would force you to go to Creed. It's a terrible bet. I have to come up with something better. I'm trying to work Milton.
I mean, if we're talking like free everything, including drinks, maybe I'll go. Okay.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
And yes, Tony Smyrna, Bush, a commercialized Nirvana. Bush is a total ripoff of all that stuff too. Absolutely.
Jared just texts me and says, I now have Creed in my head to the point that I've turned off the show and am listening to My Sacrifice. You're welcome, Jared.
It totally adds up that he would like Creed.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Herndon for PaulKaharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.